Prayer service, sorry. Last night. Oh, there we go. Well, I have a number of parts of the Bible to look at. So instead of asking you to look them all up, I'm going to put them up on the screen. Is that all right? So it'll be quicker for you to see. And we're starting in James, where we read that Elijah was a man just like us. Just like us. In every way. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And then actually, for 3.5 years, it didn't rain. And he prayed again. And the heavens gave rain. This was in the time of Ahab, King Ahab. You can read about it in the Old Testament. But it says he prayed earnestly. Now, that's not a terribly good translation, actually. Do you know what it really says in the Greek that it's written in? It says he prayed with prayer. And actually what it means is he prayed in his prayers, suggesting that it might be possible to not pray in our prayers. And we've tried to think about that a little bit before. But few of us experienced praying like Elijah did, that for 3.5 years across the whole land it wouldn't rain, and it didn't. And then asking God, send the rain. Do you remember when God began to send the rain? It came down in absolute torrents. But we can all learn to pray in our prayers, to pray with prayer. And that's what we want to look at together for a few moments this morning. Prayer has its challenges. Let's see if we can face the challenges. I've tried to group the challenges together under 4 headings, but there are many more, I'm sure. One of the prayer challenges we face is knowing actually what to pray for and then how to pray it. In other words, really knowing God's will. Because the scriptures tell us that we have confidence in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And again, we know that if he hears us in whatever we ask, we have what we asked of him. So it's not learning to pray, oh Lord, if it be your will this or that happen? No, it's knowing what to pray for and how to pray. How on earth are we going to know what God's will is so that we know how to pray? Well, there is the scripture. We have confidence in approaching God. So he's going to have to help us to discover how to know his will. Then there are the areas of human weakness. Well, all sorts came to my mind. Making time, Jim said. It's difficult when you live a busy life, especially if a season comes along where, like Jim's had, they just had weddings and things like that. I bet that was a busy time. Well, how do you make time to pray when everything's happening? We've just had a grandson staying with us for the last week. He was here to revise for his GCSEs this week. Well, we didn't have quite so much time because he kept on and on and on. And it's like that when you have people to think about. And then there's the problem of concentration. Wow, do you manage to concentrate on everything you're doing? Our grandson couldn't concentrate on his studies for more than a few minutes. I can tell you it was hard work. But when I come to pray, can I concentrate for any length of time? Or does anything else come in my mind? I find other things come in my mind. Do you? Well, that's a problem, isn't it? Sometimes there's a lack of desire. I just haven't got the motivation to pray. Sometimes pain or infirmity keeps us from really getting into prayer with God, because the thing that dominates is the pain. The thing that dominates is your weakness. You think, that seems to take over everything. It's a challenge. It's a human weakness. Sometimes there's the inability to pray in faith. Think, oh, I'd love to see this happen, but I'm not sure I can really pray in faith and assurance that this is what I should pray, and and this is what God wants to do. I'd love it to happen, but I'm not sure I really have faith for it. That's a challenge. Persevering, we've mentioned already. Keeping at it, especially when the going's hard. It's a weakness. Having confidence in prayer, especially when we come together as a group of God's people, which I hope we will on Tuesday night. I hope you'll be here. Will you have confidence to just speak out a little prayer? Not easy. It's a human weakness. Some people find it extremely easy. Many of us don't. And then a lifestyle of prayer is not really natural. It's quite unnatural. There's not many people who walk through every day of life in a natural attitude of prayer and relationship with God. All of those are human weaknesses. And then there's another area of prayer challenge that I thought about, and that's in God's responses. Sometimes they don't seem to come. Sometimes they're very different to all that I'd hoped for. Oh Lord, I prayed and prayed, and your answer's not the one I'd hoped for. Not quite how I'd expected it to turn out, Lord. I don't understand. And then God's responses that seem to be delayed. When are you going to answer this prayer, Lord? When is there going to be any answer? I keep praying it. I've prayed it for years. And there seems to be little or no response from God. Why? Prayers that require me to take action. God says, you're going to be the answer to your prayer. You need to go and visit that person you've been praying for. They need your practical help. You're the one to provide it. Or maybe you've been praying for people in another part of the world to hear the good news of the Lord Jesus. The Lord might even say, you should go. Or he might say, well, you need to give however many pounds it is towards someone going. And it may require me to take action. There are many different ways in which God responds and gets me involved. What about God's responses that actually blow me off my seat and exceed my expectations? What will that mean for me? Some have prayed for revival in this land. What would happen to you and to me if God poured out his Spirit in revival? Or what would happen if God's response was, no, I'm going to judge this nation? Wow. What would it mean for us? We wouldn't escape. We'd all be involved. Sometimes God's responses present quite a challenge to prayer. And the fourth area where we often think about having challenge in particular is where there is spiritual opposition. Because Satan does oppose God. He has angelic beings, evil angels, demons. They work and they oppose and they make it jolly difficult to pray sometimes. Satan will do everything he can to divert a believer from prayer. And this real spiritual opposition, the Bible talks about difficulties and challenges in the heavenly realms. But then sometimes, you know, spiritual opposition even comes from friends or from family. They say things that make you doubt. They say things that pour a little bit of scorn upon your approach to prayer. You may have close relatives who don't actually see the value of prayer. And that can provide spiritual opposition. It is a challenge. How do we win through? There's lots of opposition from our culture and society because our culture and society has ruled out God for the most part. Nominally, they may say we're a Christian nation, but in reality, they've called what is right wrong, and they've called what is wrong right. And we've even had governments that have passed laws along those lines. So society is a challenge. Culture is a challenge. We're not encouraged to really live close to God, walk with Him, and pray. Now, it's a challenge. But then there are challenges spiritually within myself, especially when I'm apathetic, when I lack the will to pray, when I live in defeat. I know something about these areas. I'm not talking theory. I'm saying these are things that I find. I find I get apathetic. I do lack the will to pray. I do sometimes live in defeat. That's not an easy confession. When self dominates, I do the things I want to do. My diary fills up with what I need to be doing. Self dominates. When prayer has become a duty instead of a delight and a joy, I must do it. All Christians should do it. I must have my time of prayer. There are spiritual oppositions, and all of those are prayer challenges. My, it's a good job we don't dwell on them. Is there an answer? Is there an answer to all of these prayer challenges? Well, yes, there must be. Otherwise, prayer would not be the Christian's vital breath. I like that little expression about prayer, because just as quite naturally you hadn't thought for a moment that you're breathing, but you are. You didn't have to make much effort to breathe, and we're glad we've got the fresh air, but actually prayer can become just like that, part of me, that God is doing something in me that creates His vital breath. Let me read to you particularly from the book of Romans. If you want to turn to anywhere in the Bible, let's turn to Romans chapter 8, a tremendous chapter. I was going to say one day, over 2 months or so, I'd love to be able to preach to you just from Romans 8, because it would take 2 months to preach it. Others have taken many, many more months than that to preach from Romans 8. There's so much in it. But I'm going to read to you from Romans 8, and let me read from verse 22, because this is something that we certainly know about. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Great verses. And those last two verses I put on the screen because I want to particularly think about some of the things that are there. It expresses our weakness. We don't know what to pray for, but the Holy Spirit can empower and intercede for the saints in accordance with God's will. So you can begin to see there are some answers. There is an answer to the challenges of prayer. And here are two more scriptures that I want you to take on board. In Ephesians chapter 6, it talks about praying in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Ephesians 6 is the great chapter which Paul writes about when we are facing spiritual opposition. And Jude, which is the penultimate book in the Bible, a very short letter written to Jude, It's very simple, but it ends with these very strong exhortations. Build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Notice the two phrases there in Ephesians and Jude that are highlighted. Pray in the Spirit and pray in the Holy Spirit. Yes, there is an answer to prayer challenges, and it's summarized in the Spirit. That is so challenging. Notice that the context of Ephesians is when we are battling spiritually. There's a battle going on at times, and that's the context in which Paul writes in the Ephesians. And Jude writes, when we're building, build yourselves up in your most holy faith. These are certainly key elements in the life of any Christian believer, aren't they? Sometimes we're battling, sometimes we're building. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now notice, I've highlighted the word with in that Romans 8 verse 16, because it's very interesting, the context of that verse. Earlier in Romans 8, I didn't read it, but we're looking at verse 16. It says that by the Spirit of God, we can cry out to God, Abba, Daddy, Father. We can cry out. And then it says, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now that's very interesting, because I might speak out and say, Father, but actually what's happening, as God works by his Spirit and he sent his Spirit to live in the life of a Christian believer, the Spirit himself with my spirit within me testifies with my spirit and says, yes, you are one of God's children. And then the verses that we looked at earlier, verses 26 and 27 in this same chapter, Romans 8, in the same way, the Spirit helps us not out of our weaknesses, but in our weaknesses. That's why I've highlighted in red, the Holy Spirit in our weaknesses. We don't know what we ought to pray for. No, we've already acknowledged that. He who searches our hearts, that's within us. He knows the mind of the Spirit because the Spirit intercedes for the saints. So we know that it can happen within us because the Holy Spirit can be the one who rules in the life of every believer. I notice as well in that, if you just look at the other little words I've highlighted in green, it says, we do not know. I sort of thought about that and I thought, who's writing that? And it's the Apostle Paul. And I thought, Paul, the great apostle who could write all this, teach so much, see churches founded, thousands come to Christ. And he said, we. So he included himself. He said, I'm learning too. I thought, oh, that's great. If the Apostle Paul had to learn, then we do not know includes the Apostle Paul. So I just put that in passing. Well, the Holy Spirit helps us actually to see that God is in control. The Holy Spirit helps us to understand the difference between, for example, when we're laid aside by illness or called aside for stillness. What is God saying to us in any situation? The Holy Spirit teaching us what is God's will in what's happening here. He's helping us see God is in control, and helping us to understand the difference between when I'm laid aside or called aside. It is rather different. And it's the Holy Spirit who can begin to teach us all of these things. Just in passing, I note that the Lord Jesus himself is one who went to heaven. Ascension Day was last Thursday, I believe. So we were thinking about that then. Well, maybe most of us weren't. But he is in heaven. And actually, I'm sure it says here somewhere that the Lord Jesus is interceding for us. Yes, here it is. In verse 34 of Romans 8. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died. More than that, he was raised to life. Christ Jesus, where is he? At the right hand of God. That tells me he's in heaven. What is he doing? He's also interceding for us. Wonderful. That's great, because there can't be any interruptions to his prayers. He can't ever be diverted. He can't ever miss the point. He can't ever get distracted. There's nothing that I can do, that anyone else can do, that Donald Trump or anyone in this world can do, can hinder the praying of the Lord Jesus, because he's at the right hand of the Father and he intercedes without interruption perfectly. And he prays for you and he prays for me if we are following him. Isn't that great? What the Lord Jesus is able to do. That's his position. But actually, we need as well that promise which he said, when I go, I'm going to send someone like me to be with you forever. Receive him into your lives. Let him be the one who controls you. And he's called the Holy Spirit. And he comes where we are, with us, in us, through us, and he helps us to see that God is in control. And he helps us to understand the difference about what's happening in our lives. So how important it is, if we're going to pray, that the Holy Spirit does the praying with us, in us, and through us. So we need to open up to the Holy Spirit. He is the one. All believers have the Holy Spirit. Again, in Romans 8, it says, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. All believers have the Holy Spirit. There's actually an obligation. Again, it's in Romans 8. That's why I tell you I'd need 2 months to preach on that chapter alone. There's so much in it. We have an obligation, but it's not to the sinful nature to live according to it. No, our obligation is to live by the Spirit. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. It's for the Holy Spirit to invade us, to control us, and an obligation to live that way, not just pray that way. And there is a difference. There is a difference for a believer who is actually filled with the Holy Spirit. The problem is, we leak. But the Holy Spirit wants us to be filling our lives. Did you notice that Ephesians 6 verse, it said, pray in the Spirit on all occasions, that's every time, isn't it? And with all kinds of prayers and requests. So it's not just sometimes pray in the Spirit, not just particularly when you have a need, but pray in the Spirit always, on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. And just a few little thoughts about that. Sometimes when we pray in the Spirit, with all kinds of prayers and requests, we use words which are understood. In fact, 1 John says, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And again in Romans 8, we looked at verse 27, the Spirit intercedes in accordance with God's will. He shows us what God's will is. The Holy Spirit knows perfectly what God's will is. He shows it to us. He puts it in our hearts. He motivates us, and we can use words which are understood to express that. Understood to us, understood by others in a little group, and he can work in that way. But there are other scriptures which seem to indicate that sometimes the Holy Spirit can work in a way so that I pray with words which are unknown. And Paul writes to the Corinthians, if I pray in a tongue, which is unknown words, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. There's another whole area of prayer to explore. Sometimes the Lord works by his Spirit, so we pray with words which are unknown. You may not have had experience of that. I'd love to share with you more. Sometimes it's without words at all. Romans 8:26 that we read is with groans that words cannot express. So sometimes prayer is just a groan. And at Falty Brennan that we saw on that little video clip, they've had lots of prayers without words. And God has broken through in remarkable ways. So sometimes it's with words understood, sometimes with words unknown, sometimes without words. But we're to pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. And notice that that passage in Jude, where we're talking about building, we're pretty good at that building bit, the building of yourselves up. That's why we come together. Keeping yourselves in God's love, that's not too difficult either. But notice the thing that's in the middle. We so often miss out. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, invading me, controlling me. Lord, I want to be filled with your Spirit so that I can pray. So there are prayer challenges. There's the four headings. Knowing God's will, human weakness, God's responses and what they mean, and spiritual opposition. Is there an answer? I want to say an emphatic yes. I'm learning, but I'm telling you that praying in the Spirit gives an answer to all of those areas. Because the Holy Spirit knows God's will. The Holy Spirit can overcome my weakness. The Holy Spirit knows God's responses because he is God. The Holy Spirit deals with spiritual opposition because he's totally victorious, because he proclaims that Jesus Christ is Lord and declares everything that Jesus has done as complete, full, adequate, finished. So I want to tell you that the answer to prayer challenges, whatever prayer challenge you may have, is you need to be filled with the Spirit and you need to learn to pray in the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit helps me to learn to be an overcomer in all of these challenges. Well, final thoughts. Time's gone. So, Paul says, what shall I do? I'll pray with my spirit, but I'll also pray with my mind. There are occasions when we need to pray with our mind. It's right that we should have renewed minds. Absolutely so. We bring our mind to the Lord, that his thoughts control our thoughts. The art of concentration with our mind. The Holy Spirit can help us. Sometimes, you know, you have to be very practical. If you're like me, and when you get to prayer, lots of other things become central in your mind. Well, get a little piece of paper and have it beside you, and a pen or pencil or something. And those things that you must see to, just write them down. All right, they're noted. You can leave them to one side and you can then get on with prayer. Be practical. Our minds need to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. And we need to read a lot too, or listen a lot, and learn what's happening in God's big world so that he instructs our minds so that we know how to pray. But we also need to pray with our spirit. Notice that that's slightly different to pray in the Spirit with a capital S. Sometimes we need to pray with my spirit, small s. I'd love to teach you a bit more about this, but I haven't time to do it this morning. But it's the human spirit. It's in the human spirit that spiritual gifts operate. It's in the human spirit that God can actually stir things in my heart. So I will not always pray with my spirit, but I will always be praying in the Holy Spirit, if it's to be effective prayer. So that's why pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests is so vital. Sometimes it's with my spirit, sometimes it's with my mind, but always in the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit seeks always to inspire us, to lead us, to empower us, to sustain us, and to bless my praying. That's what he wants to do. So if and when and always you are filled with the Holy Spirit, I would suggest you'll begin to learn to pray. Because I don't know what your experience is. I know what my experience is. I know some of what Rita's experience is. But we've learned and beginning to discover, what does it mean to pray in the Spirit? Would you like to explore more? Would you like to discover more of what it really means to pray in prayer like Elijah did? Well, it's all here. It's all there for us to learn. But some of it needs almost some sort of practical workshops for us to learn together. Don't know how we can work that out. We need to think about it. But there's lots there in God's Word, lots to think about. I hope it stimulated you to think a little bit about how we can overcome as we are filled with the Spirit. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we thank you so much that you didn't leave us to struggle in prayer. You didn't leave us to struggle to live a Christian life here in this world where so many people don't understand what that means. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that when you left your disciples, you promised that you would give them someone to be with them who would empower them so that they could live for you and do what you did. And you sent your Spirit. And we thank you that next weekend we'll be celebrating Pentecost and the birth of the church and the power you released. And we thank you, Lord, you've never, never taken away what you promised to give. And you've given your Holy Spirit so that we can be filled with the Spirit and we can pray in the Spirit. We can live in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. Oh Lord, help us to surrender all to you so that you may have your way. What a blessing this is, Lord. What an assurance. What certainty we have when we follow you. And we thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you again for your patience and forbearance. I always yap on too long. But you've got a chance to sing a wonderful old hymn now, 59. You probably don't even need to turn it up in the books. You probably know it all off by heart. Wonderful. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Perfect submission. Perfect delight. Visions of rapture burst on my sight. I and my Saviour am happy and blessed. Born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. 59.